Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the 7th episode of the Morning Mulligans. We're super excited to have you all. Before we jump in, which is a huge week last week.
Yeah,
Max
really
Helmer
big.
Finally got the win after all these top 10 finishes that he's had. It was really great to see him win. It was very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to see. Now, generally, people know here that we go through a little bit of news and some recap of the previous week, and then we jump into some course info, and then our picks for the week are DFS or FanDuel picks. Let's just jump straight into the news. Todd, where do you want to start? What do we got?
So, yeah, like you just said, Max Homa won a two-hole playoff against Tony Finau. They both shot 12-under to get into that. But the big takeaway, or the big storyline, I guess, other than Max Homa winning, was Sam Burns.
Mm-hmm.
His meltdown kind of started on Saturday. He had two bogeys to end when they stopped play.
Yeah.
They didn't finish Saturday's round because of the wind advisory. That one, I don't know. It was kind of weird because he looked just so confident all week long.
Yeah.
And then he got into the toughest part of the course on Saturday, and he kind of saved it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he limped in on at the end of Saturday's round on Sunday morning.
Right.
So that was pretty big, but Sunday pressure just got to him.
It was kind of hard to watch. Like you said, he started kind of folding at the end of Saturday, and then once you got towards near the end of his round again on Sunday, it kind of just started looking really iffy again on those same holes. And I think it also had to do with DJ a little bit, because if you watched
it's got to be intimidating looking at the leaderboard, knowing the number one in the world's chasing you.
Exactly. I think DJ definitely had played some little mind games with it. That was funny when if you're actually watching the coverage, you know, Sam Burns might come up and hit 3-wood just to kind of get out there, but then DJ recognizes that and he'll just go down there and whack a driver.
Yeah.
So I think DJ was trying to play a little bit of the mind games with the kid, and it worked, but DJ couldn't close.
DJ folded a little too.
Yeah,
so
he couldn't do it.
Kind of got both of them.
You know, it was great to see Max Homa win, especially for us. We called the Max Homa win last week. We actually called the whole top four players last week.
We did.
Week.
Yep.
That was awesome to see. We had an amazing week, won some good money.
First very successful week so far doing the podcast.
Right,
I think.
Right.
At least for us. We've had some success with other people.
Yeah, we have. We've been successful every week, but last week was definitely a very successful week for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to see Max Homa win. It is sad to see it was against Finau. Sadly.
Yeah, he's the most favorite or most easily liked person on tour,
yeah.
And you just really wanted to see him win, but at the same time with the bets that we had and stuff, we were like,
yeah.
Okay, well, just not this week.
Todd and I were watching the golf yesterday, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, Fina, I love you, but it just can't be you right now.
Yeah, we really need this Homa win right now. I'm sorry, you can get it next week.
Yeah.
Or this week, I guess I should say. I think Finau's second place made me like him even more because of the fact to have the mental toughness to be in a press conference literally 5 seconds after you got done. And I don't know, maybe he signed on to do it, but that really annoyed me to see that. And it also happened with Sam Burns on Saturday.
It did, yeah.
Like literally as soon as the horn blew and he walked off the green, there was literally a camera and a microphone in his face.
Yep.
And I'm just like, man, give these guys time to like process what is going on.
It's Finau's had so many finishes. What kind of sucks too to hear is that Finau talks about, you know, this is a good learning experience. You know, I'm disappointed, but good learning experience. Well, I mean,
how many more learning experiences?
How many learning experiences have you had?
Yeah.
Like, it's
his last three finishes are literally second place.
Yeah. It's tough to tell him, like, put your foot on the pedal and keep going because it's second place every time.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I don't really understand what's missing from his game. Well, I mean, I kind of do. It's definitely the mental aspect of it, I think.
I mean,
there's parts he can improve, but by this point, you just keep finishing second every time. So, like, if you look at the leaderboard and you know you're out there and you just know you keep finishing second, I mean, you're bound to start shaking a little bit. Like, you're getting scared.
It's got
to
be in your head.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think the thing with Finau, I mean, we have seen him kind of choke, I guess, a little in tournaments sometimes. But
that's a tough word to use in golf.
It is. But the two like second place finishes that really stick out to me, this being one of them, and last year's Waste Management.
Mm-hmm.
He came in second, but he got beat.
Yeah,
he didn't fold. He didn't choke. He didn't do anything. He literally just got beat.
Yeah.
At the last minute, Webb Simpson beat him last year at Waste Management.
Yep.
And Max Homa, dude, with that hook around the tree in the first playoff hole, it was just meant to be.
It was an amazing shot, especially in the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, that's so clutch.
Yeah.
And even the shot he hit on 18.
Yeah.
To hit it to 3 feet, when he missed that putt, I thought it was over. Like, I figured he would go in the playoff.
I couldn't hit the cash out button.
I completely thought whenever he missed that 3-footer for birdie to win the tournament, I figured Finau had it.
Yeah, no, I was texting my dad. I was saying the same thing. I was like, well, at least Finau gets the win now. Like, that's cool to see. But then it turned around, and, you know, I got the win. Yeah. So.
It was a lot of excitement, a lot more excitement than I thought, considering Sam Burns had like a 5-shot lead going in to Saturday's round.
Yeah, it was a very exciting tournament to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Some other golf news is that Rory has officially been elected into the 2021 PGA Tour Player Advisory as a council chairman. So congratulations to him. It's cool to see Rory up there. You know, such a big name be up there. And, you know, obviously him with involving rules and playing to the game, like to the point.
Right.
You know, he's a very good role model in that fashion.
Yeah. For sure.
He definitely does have a temper on the course, but
yeah,
there's some, I think with rules, you know, I mean, he's not going to cheat.
No, he's definitely, as far as that goes, he's definitely one of the more respectable guys on tour.
Yeah. Now, some big news in my opinion here. I'm going to go ahead and say it for everybody. The state of Tennessee is going to officially claim Cameron Smith. I'm representing the state of Tennessee in this right here. Cameron Smith on PGA Tour labeled Cam Smith's haircut as the Tennessee waterfall haircut.
Oh, yeah, he's adopted.
So
he's the stepson for Tennessee.
I'll go ahead and represent the state of Tennessee. We are adopting Cameron Smith. And on that note, everybody on the show knows that I have a group of boys that I like.
Oh, no.
I have a top five group of boys, and I've been taking applications for the fifth boy. And Cameron Smith has officially the job.
We're both high on Cameron Smith now.
I now have officially completed my five boys. Now, I need to get fired at any point, but Cam Smith has got the job on my top five boys.
I was scrolling around on eBay last night trying to – if anyone doesn't know, I'm, like, getting into sports cards, and I was really trying to find a Cam Smith sports card.
He's on the rise. It's kind of hard to say he's on the rise when he's been up there already. But he's just playing great golf. You're going to see a win soon.
I think so.
You might see it this week.
That would be big.
You might. But
he's been knocking on the door quite a lot too, I think.
Right. You got anything else as in news-wise?
No, nothing really other than the wind delay was kind of weird.
Oh, yeah, the wind advisory. It was
I don't know if I've ever – I mean, I've seen it be borderline, but I don't know if I've ever seen it, like, cause a course to not be playable to the point where they shut down for multiple hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw Keegan Bradley's putt.
That was bad.
That would have made me mad.
Yeah.
But, I mean
– the thing that sucks is you gotta have those instances where the rules officials are like, okay, well, maybe we should probably do something.
At least it was Keegan Bradley. I mean, who cares? I mean, but it was it's always not good to see when it goes on suspension, play goes on suspension, but it was much needed.
Yeah, I mean,
they were on the range just goofing around and hitting sky balls, and it was all just coming right back at them.
Well, when I was watching the coverage, and at first I didn't really understand, and I was just like, man, these guys have it so easy. You know, like every time there's inclement weather of any kind, they just stop play for a while, and then I was just like, okay, well, maybe this one's actually justified.
This one's needed.
Yeah.
But, and they're playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Millions. Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal. But other than the news, that's all I got.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about our finishes with our players that we picked. Again, we had our best week we've had. You know, we've been public with
Huge
you all.
Week.
Yeah. Been public for you all for 3 weeks now. And it just seems to get better and better every week, really. And we killed it last week.
Yeah.
Now, we called for the Max Homa win. And if you listen to us, he was plus 6,000 before the tournament started.
Yep.
So that's a huge win. Now, we called for Homa. We called for Finau. Finau is second. We called for Cam Smith. He was fourth. Sam Burns was third. That's where we called the entire top four.
Yeah, literally the hardest part for me was watching Sunday's round because I had outright winners on Finau and Burns.
I was just like,
"Oh God, I don't know when to." I don't think, especially when Burns had his like absolute collapse on back nine. I was like, "Well, there's no way he's winning, so I'll go ahead and cash out."
Yeah, I cashed out as well.
There was a point where I think Finau had like four or five holes left to go, and I had an outright bet on him also, and he was like two shots back or three, and so I just cashed out.
It's not a bad move. I mean, it ended up working.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I would have waited. I think the payout would have been a little better if I would have waited till the playoffs.
That's true. Thank goodness I didn't cash out on Homa. That was a big win for me. I was freaking out all day.
Yeah, back and forth.
Yeah. But, you know, we called the top four. We also said Jordan Spieth last week. You know, he finished 15th.
He did not have a good weekend.
No, bad weekend. But, you know, 15th, that's really good for Spieth right now.
Yeah.
He's doing great. But we had a tons of our guys. I'll just blow through them really quick. Adam Scott was 38. Cam Davis, 43rd. Not our best. Leishman 32nd. Now, we did have a little small group right here that I was pretty high on Bryson. Bryson missed a cut. Now, Todd liked Luke List last week. Luke List missed a cut by one. And we were both huge on Carlos Ortiz.
Yeah, that was a...
I mean, he hurt me so bad. I was in third on FanDuel, winning $3,000 at one point, and then Carlos Ortiz decides to miss the cut.
Yeah, that one was a gut punch.
So I dropped to like 200th.
That was a gut punch for sure.
Yeah, but... those are our little bad group right there. But other than that, we had Cantlay 15th. JT Poston was 43rd. Xander Schauffele 15th. Zalatoris 15th. Wyndham Clark, Todd's pick, was 8th. And then Furyk, little tier D guy, 26th. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Exactly. Calling the top four plus all these other guys. No, we had a fantastic week. Both won some good money.
The craziest part was Burns has been on a pretty good roll.
Yeah.
Up until this tournament, and he was only like 6% owned, depending on you know what games you were in.
In my game, he was 6.6% owned.
I think he was like 6.2 in mine.
Yeah, you know, it was good for me too. His Homa was like 11.7, I think.
Yeah.
So huge. No, it was a very good week for all of us. We hope you guys listened in and took in what we said. I hope you do it again this week, because we got some stuff in store for you all. You got anything else for our recap before we jump in?
Nope. Go ahead.
All right, we are playing what was supposed to be WGC Mexico. Is now WGC Workday Championship. You know, it's been replaced due to COVID.
So I guess they're gonna sponsor two events this year, because they just signed on a 10-year deal to sponsor the Memorial Tournament.
Oh, wait. This course did?
No, not this course. The Jack Nicklaus's course in Ohio.
Oh.
They just signed a 10-year deal that I seen while we were doing all of our research and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah. They were on tour last year too, because they played at the Memorial course twice.
Oh, okay.
So huh. I guess they got rid of that tournament and then adopted the actual Memorial tournament. So
that's good.
Not bad.
Wow. So this week's course is a course that has not been played on the PGA Tour yet. This is his first time on there. It's called the Concession Golf Club. And just a little history for everybody on Concession Golf Club. It was opened in 2006, but the designers are Jack Nicklaus and Jacqueline. Now, the reason it's called Concession Golf Club is because Jack Nicklaus was playing against Jacqueline in the 1969 Ryder Cup, and Jacqueline had a 2-foot putt to tie everything, and Jack Nicklaus gave it to him. And that was known, that act of sportsmanship was known as the concession. So now these two came and designed a golf course together, and that's their history together, so they named it Concession Golf Club. So it's a pretty cool little thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a just fun little history right there.
Yeah.
But the course is 7,474 yards long. It is a par 72. Now, it took us a while to find the grass on this place.
Yeah, it's really back and forth.
Yeah, but we got Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. Now, that's everywhere. But if you know anything about Tiff Eagle Bermuda, it's cut and rolled and rolls like bent greens. It's extremely similar to bent greens, but it's a type of Bermuda grass. So, technically Bermuda, but we're going to pretty much call it bent this week, essentially.
Plays like, yeah.
Yeah. But greens can be fast here. You know, it's not necessarily easy greens. They're not like last week, but they can get a little fast.
Yeah, they're kind of undulating.
Yeah, and the rough, it probably won't be, it won't be as thick as it would be later in the year, but you'll expect thick here. I mean, it's Florida.
Yeah.
So, it can be, it's in the
grass
Tampa
really
Bay
never
area.
Stops growing.
Yeah. You know, Now, but the fairways and tees here are a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of shoots here, like tree lines, and then the fairways, there's hazard everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's some water, but this course's real defense here is their bunkers. There are bunkers strategically placed in landing zones around the greens. I mean, this is a course you truly have to know where to place the ball.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, is just like Riviera last week.
Yeah.
You've got to know where to put the ball. I mean, obviously, you'll learn as the day goes. You know, this is a no-cut event. So, the guys, just because you're in the lead on Saturday, you know, some of those guys might get a niche.
Yeah, everybody gets four rounds.
Yeah. But it's an extremely strategic golf course that we've seen so far. But before we jump into our picks, you got anything else for us before we jump in?
Nope.
I've been kind of stealing the spotlight so far today. But let's jump right into them. You know, we go through tier A, B, C, and D. We use FanDuel for all of our pricings and all of our picks. We just enjoy FanDuel's setup a little more than DraftKings. So let's just jump right into it. Tier A is $12,100 to $10,000. Now, again, pricing is all through FanDuel. Todd, start us off with Tier A.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to look at DJ, I think. You know, he played well last week.
Ish.
Other than faltering a little on Sunday.
It's hard not to look at him right now.
I mean, he's always going to be a favorite, especially on longer courses. And Rory's another guy that I just want to mention. I mean, the miscut last week doesn't really scare me too much. He hadn't finished outside of the top 25 all season other than last week.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these guys. They both get four rounds, like we said. So I don't think they're too bad of a play. They're the two most expensive guys on the board, I think.
Yeah.
DJ's the most expensive. So, I mean, if you're going, you know, if you're going kind of on the bottom, you might throw him in there, but you can definitely expect him to be like 40 to 50% owned.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just don't usually like picking guys that high just because it's so much money up there.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the ownership sucks.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, it's like it's worth it. It's worth it if they win. But if they don't win, even a top five, it's not worth it. It's like they have to win.
Pretty much.
You know, you got two guys. I got two guys pretty high up there as well. I picked John Rahm this week. He's 11,900, and he finished fifth last week. So everyone knows here that listens, and if you don't know, we'll explain it right here. Now, Todd usually goes through a lot of player statistics and analytics of everything. He likes to see, you know, who's putting the best, driving distance, things like that. Me, I like to do a lot of course comparisons. I dive heavy into the research to find a course that is very similar to this course, whether it be in play, greens, yardage. I try to find everything and mash it all in together.
This week was tricky.
Yeah, but I think I have a good course comparison this week, and it might shock some people. This course has never been played before, so it's kind of hard to really dial it down. But I'm actually going to compare it to Augusta National, the Masters. And, you know, in the theme, Masters is less than 50 days away now. So, hooray, getting there.
Greatest week of the year.
Yeah. You know, so I got Augusta National this week. You know, Augusta National is bent greens. You know, this place is Bermuda, but Augusta – oh, this place rolls like bent greens, and so Augusta's bent greens as well.
Similar yardage.
Yeah, and the similar thickness of the rough. And, you know, everybody that watches the Masters knows that you have to know how to play that course to win. That is a very strategic course, and that's from what I've been hearing about this course. So I think the greens are pretty much the same. You have to know what you're doing. You have to place the ball right. You have to play careful golf, but yet, you know, your aggressive shots every now and then. But the coolest thing, actually, is that this course, Concession Golf Club, is 7,474 yards long, and Augusta National is 7,475 yards long.
Okay.
So 1 yard difference. So, like, again, it's both courses extremely strategic, both pretty much bent greens, and same yardage. So, I mean, I literally couldn't find anything closer than that. I mean, it really doesn't get much closer than that.
Not really.
But now that I'm done ranting, I'll tell you why I picked John Rahm.
Okay.
So, John Rahm finished fifth last week. Riviera is a course that you have got to know how to play the course. It's a strategic course. And John Rahm's last three Masters visits, he's been top 10. So I think this week you should expect another John Rahm top 10.
Yeah, I think this club change is really kind of messing with him, as it does most players.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Justin Rose do the same thing when he went to Hanma and still kind of struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Rahm's so young. I think he's gonna figure it out here pretty soon.
I agree. I think I don't think John Rahm will win, but it's, you know, three top tens, the Masters, fifth last week. You know, I think he's got a good chance. Now, one thing I wanted to point out about this tournament before we keep going is that this is a brand new tournament. You know, well, it's the WGC. That part's not brand new. The golf course is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, I think some of these guys are going to – this isn't just some normal tournament. I think these guys are going to go out here and treat this like it's something special because they'll be able to put their name on whatever plaque, whatever leaderboard they have there as the first PGA Tour winner here.
True.
So, you know, maybe not necessarily a major they'll treat it as, but I think these guys are going to come out and really grind. I don't think it's just going to be some rink-a-dink little tournament.
Yeah, I could definitely see one of the top players in the world winning this week.
Yeah, I agree. Now, who else you got in tier A? Throw me one more. I got a couple.
Yeah, I do too. So, so what I've looked at least in the top guys, and Rahm actually falls in this category too. They played the 2015 NCAA championship
right
here.
You talked about that.
And there's a couple of guys on tour. Rahm played here. Mm-hmm. And my top guy this week, at least as far as pricing goes, is Xander Schauffele. I'm going back to him. I played him last week. He's $11,700. He's $200 more than he was last week. But he played in the 2015 championship here, so he's at least got some competitive rounds on this golf course.
Yeah.
And right now, he's second in strokes gained putting on Bermuda over the last 24 rounds.
Wow.
He's not outside the top 30 in any major strokes gained stat.
Wow.
I mean, he's just killing it. He's first in total strokes gained, 21st in strokes gained approach.
Finished 15th last week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's 45th in greens in regulation, but his short game's so good it can save him around here, I think.
Yeah.
The only thing he needs is a decent driving week because he's 159th in driving accuracy.
Fair.
So that's the only part. Yeah, that's the only part that kind of scares me a little bit, but not enough to not play him.
Yeah. No, Xander Schauffele, he'd probably be in almost all my lineups this week. I'm big on him this week as well. You know, he finished 15th last week. He has a runner-up at the Masters.
Yeah.
And a fun stat that I was actually shared today, Xander Schauffele has 16 straight top 25 finishes. 16 straight top 25 finishes. Only two other players have done that since 1990. Tiger Woods four times, of course.
Yeah.
And then Rory McIlroy once. So Xander Schauffele is an elite company right there.
Yeah, he is.
And, no, I think Xander's going to play great again this week. I would love to see him win. I don't know if he'll get the win, but I could definitely see a top five finish here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be good. I'll throw you one also. We're going to kind of relate it back to last week is Tony Finau, $11,200 this week.
I didn't write him down just because I knew you were going to mention him, but you can't go wrong with him. He's almost guaranteed to get you top five.
That's what I'm saying. How can you go wrong with Tony Finau now? He finished second last week, and if you use my Augusta National course comparison, he always plays good at the Masters.
Yeah.
You know, he loves that place, and I don't know if Tony's going to win. I don't know.
At this point, I don't know if anyone does.
Yeah, it's probably safe to say Tony Finau is top 10. Probably safe to say top 5.
I would think so.
I mean, $11,200, I mean, that's a good price tag for him. I feel like he should be above Xander, in my opinion.
His past finishes, you would,
That's what I'm saying. But maybe Xander's up there because Xander might actually win. But, I mean, I would love to put Tony Finau in the lineup this week just because, you know, he's going to be top five. His ownership will be up there. His ownership will probably be 25% or more.
Yeah, for sure.
Something like that. But you can't go wrong with Tony again. I mean, you just can't. Give me another guy.
I hate to mention this one.
Oh, it's coming.
I can't help it.
Because he hurt my feelings last week.
Well, he actually hurt mine too because I played him also in the lineup.
Yeah, okay.
I had him in there with JT, who also missed the cut.
And he really hurt your feelings.
That lineup was pretty much done.
Yeah.
But it's Bryson DeChambeau.
Ugh.
He won here in 2015 at the NCAA championship. He's $11,300. He's another guy I'm not really thrown by his missed cut last week.
You say he's $11,300?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did miss the cut last week, but his putting wasn't that bad last week. He was just spraying that driver everywhere.
And just knowing how anal he is about his golf game, there's no way he hasn't gotten that somewhat under control.
That's fair, but, you know, you saw what DeChambeau did in the Masters.
That is true.
So, Bryson DeChambeau by no means is a bad pick, but could you see him winning?
I mean, as far as winners on this golf course, he's the only one.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, he's first in strokes gained off the tee and first in strokes gained tee to green and 15th in strokes gained approach.
I agree with you how, like, you know, particular he is about his game.
I just don't know if –
he's definitely probably fixed something by now.
Right. I just don't – like I said, I don't – he is the only winner, but, I mean – 2015's NCAA tournament is nowhere near the
Bryson that we saw today or last week.
No. Well, he shot 8 under for that tournament, but I got to figure it's probably going to be more like 15 to under or so. Probably it's going to win this event, I would think.
15 under is going to win this thing?
Yeah, I mean.
I could see it.
I've seen all the posts of everybody saying how hard this golf course is, but they say that literally about every golf course.
That's,
and these pros
fair.
Just eat it up.
I mean, I don't know. You know, Riviera, that was a – that wasn't exactly low. I mean, it wasn't exactly high score. You know?
Yeah, the only problem is I don't know if this is necessarily a course you can bomb and gouge.
No, I don't think it is. With you know,
from the aerial shots I've seen, it's looked like if you miss the green
everywhere.
Or if you miss the fairway, you're in woods,
yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, there's hazards everywhere. You know, I don't know. I could see 15, maybe 16 under. Between 14 and 16 under is probably going to win this, I would think.
Yeah.
Most likely. Well, I'll throw you a mention in another guy I got.
Okay.
I got to mention Patrick Cantlay this week. He's 11,500. Now, he's just a mention for me because he did finish 15th last week, which is great. He's playing very well, and his last Masters visits have either been in the top 20 or the top 10. So, Patrick Cantlay, fantastic player.
He's another guy I think is due for a win.
I think he's due, but I don't know if he's due right now. I don't understand the guy right now. I don't see if he's going to win or not. I thought he was going to win AT&T Pebble.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have won at the American Express. Like you said, you might see Patrick Cantlay leading the tournament going to the weekend, and then you might see him disappear.
That term, drive for show, putt for dough. That resonates so hard with Patrick Cantlay right now because he plays so good tee to green, and then especially at AT&T, he just didn't make anything on Sunday.
I think Patrick Cantlay, his ownership's going to go down from last week. I don't think I'm going to put him in any lineups this week, though. But I think it's a fair mention that he'll probably get you a top 20.
Yeah.
But for 11,500, you know, Tony Finau is 11,200. So I'd rather have Tony than Cantlay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of mine. But – here's a guy right here that I think might win this tournament. And it's a little sneaky. Now, it might not be sneaky to you, but sneaky to me. 10,700 is Brooks Koepka.
Really?
Yeah, which I know you don't like to hear.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I was just wondering about his driving ability right now, too.
Yeah. Well, there's a few reasons why, and I'll tell you. It's Koepka last week finished 38th. Not fantastic, but he's – before that, he's come out the win at Phoenix Open, you know, which is a grinded out win. And he's been really trying to focus in on his game, I think. You know, he doesn't talk about it that much, but he wants to be like a regular season guy, I think. He doesn't want to just be the major guy.
Yeah, he's tired of having that.
Yeah. And if you look at my course comparison, Augusta National, Koepka loves the Masters. He always plays good there. So I think Koepka could possibly win this tournament. I think Koepka is going to go in on maybe not all my lineups, but most of them. But I feel like it's better to say because Koepka knows for a fact there's no cut line.
Right.
So he's going to be able – I mean, he's just going to put his foot on the pedal.
I think that definitely gives guys a excuse almost to be aggressive just on every shot because you know you got 4 rounds.
Exactly. I think Brooks Koepka could win this tournament. I think at his worst – he's going to get you a top 10 at his worst. Maybe even a top 5 at his worst.
That would be big.
I definitely think it. But who else you got in tier A?
So my last guy, well, I got one guy I'm definitely playing, another mention, but guy I'm playing is Colin Morikawa, 10,100.
Bold.
He's playing decently good golf. He just didn't really get anything going last week. He made the cut, but he just hung around like even par to 2 or 3 under, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean – he was second in strokes gained approach last week, and he's third in strokes gained approach on the season.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's hitting a ton of greens. He's sixth in strokes gained tee to green and 27th in driving accuracy and 10th in greens in regulation. So, I mean, as far as the stats that I think are going to come to light at this event, he's pretty good in all of them.
That's true. Now, you know, like last week, Riviera, it's a very strategic golf course. I mean, he was 43rd last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you think he can turn that around this week?
I think so. I think he's one of the best up-and-coming players.
I agree.
And I don't think...
He's a very consistent golfer.
Right. Now, I don't think last week is necessarily going to correlate into how his season's going to start trending.
That's fair. I can believe it. You know, he did finish 7th at Sony Open and 7th in the Century this year. But those two courses are drastically different from this place in Riviera.
True.
Now, maybe last week's kind of a wake-up call. Maybe he does play better than that. I'd like to see it. It might be a good pick.
Yeah.
That's good. You got anybody else in Tier A?
I got a risky play.
A risky play.
Which normally I don't have risky plays in Tier A.
Yeah.
But this is such a limited field and stuff. But
very limited this week.
It's Webb Simpson.
Risky. That's for sure. I did not pick him this week.
The length of the golf course kind of scares me a little, but I mean he's one of the best ball strikers on tour. He gets it in play almost more than anybody else on tour. He's just, as far as just game goes, if you take the length out of play, I think this suits him pretty well.
That's fair. 10,500 this week.
Yep. He tied 10th at the Masters at 2019. So
it's fair. I mean, like you said, he's just a very well-seasoned golfer.
Yeah.
He's just one of the best out there right now.
Yeah. He kind of seems like he's cooled off from last year's restart. Because, I mean, as soon as we got back to playing golf last year, he was like the name in golf for a good solid 2 months.
He was.
But he's not necessarily that player. I mean, maybe he is, but he just doesn't – he's not getting that hype right now. But I definitely – I don't know if I'm going to put him in any lineups, but I could definitely see him finishing top 15.
Okay. That's pretty good. His ownership probably won't be too high up there this week.
I wouldn't think so.
Probably below 15%. Maybe below 18%, something around there. But I got two guys left for you.
Okay.
One is, I really hate to say it, but I'm more saying it just because I want to make fun of him for a second. It's Patrick Reed. It's 10,400. Patrick Reed. It's kind of hard not to talk about right now. He's won the Masters, which is my course comparison, and he won his last tournament he was in, and he's had some time off since then.
And whatever that's worth, he's the defending champion.
Exactly. So when I said I wanted to make fun of him a little bit, it's just because I know he's definitely working on his game, yada, yada, yada. But he should not have won that last tournament. I think Patrick Reed – you're either going to see him do absolutely horrible this week, or he's going to get top 10. I think it's a very risky play. I think he knows everybody in the world did not want him to win, and especially the way he won. So, I don't know. I feel like Reed's either going to come out and he's just going to light it up, or he's going to come out and he's going to do horrible.
He's definitely one of those guys that I think feeds off negative energy, too.
Yeah.
It's weird.
There's been plenty of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
My last Tier A guy is 10,800, and it's Victor Hovland. I kind of debated on saying this one, but Victor Hovland finished 5th last week. You know, Riviera is comparable to the course we're coming at this week just because it's such a strategic golf course.
Right.
And in 2019, Victor Hovland finished 32nd at the Masters. So, you know, Victor Hovland is definitely an uprising name. He's by no means in the elite group yet, I don't think. But his short game scares me a lot.
Yeah.
But he's such a good wedge and iron player. I think he's going to keep rising. I don't necessarily know where he's going to finish this week. I feel like his price tag is a little high at 10,800. So I don't know how much I'm going to play him. But tomorrow, if you tune in to Wednesday Wagers tomorrow, Victor Hovland could be – there could be a few good single bets on him. But if you want to throw him into the lineup, I don't think his ownership is going to be that high. I think he'll get you a top 20 this week at his best. I don't know. His price tag seems a little high for me.
Yeah, that's a little high, especially if he just finishes middle of the pack.
Yeah, I was saying he could light it up. He could tear it. I didn't expect him to do as well as he did at Torrey Pines. So he could do well. I don't know. Right. Another risky play.
Right.
That's all I got for Tier A.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, moving on to Tier B. It is our 9,900 to 9,000 players. Again, we use FanDuel for all of our pricing. Tier B was slim picking this week.
Oh, yeah, very slim
picking. There's like 10 guys in Tier B.
Yeah.
So start us off.
I legit at one point didn't even know if I was going to start any Tier B guys, but I found a couple.
Give me one.
It's our boy.
Our boy.
Our boy Cam Smith.
I have him this week.
He's $9,600. He's starting to get back on track. He didn't really have a great start to 2021, but I think his finish last week is going to give him some confidence. He's second in strokes gained tee to green last week, 10th in strokes gained approach, and 27th in greens and regulation all last week. So wow.
He's wicked around the greens.
He is.
He's good.
His overall stats on the season doesn't really tell that much. Mm-hmm. I think he was outside of the top 50 in just about every like stat for the season.
Okay.
But I think he's definitely a guy that once he gets his game going like he did last week, mm-hmm. I think it's gonna pick up.
Okay. No, I 100% agree with you. He's 9,600. I think his ownership's gonna be low again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Probably under 15-18%. You also have to take into fact though is that the field's literally cut in half, so everybody's ownership is gonna be increased this week no matter what.
Yeah.
But Ken Smith finished fourth last week on a very hard golf course, very strategic. And everybody knows from last year, Ken Smith is runner-up in the Masters. So I think Ken Smith, like I said, he's just so good around the greens, and he's playing great golf right now. Like I said, I think he's on the rise. I could see Ken Smith possibly winning this golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see a top five. I mean, I'm very excited for him this week. I'll be placing a single bet on him for sure. But I got two guys that I thought were almost no-brainers, in my opinion. Well, maybe not one is not no-brainer, but the guy I'm big on this week, and he's got a single bet, he's going to most of my lineups, is Tommy Fleetwood. You know, 9,900, he plays very well at the Masters. You know, he's gone 19th, 36th, and 17th in the Masters. But Tommy Fleetwood is an outstanding golfer.
Mm-hmm. He just doesn't really get much recognition over here, I think.
I agree. I think there's – other than him just always playing well at the Masters, I know – you know, I use Augusta National as my course comparison. I know the energy between here and Augusta National is very different. It's a major – it's the Masters, I understand. But course-wise, Tommy Fleetwood plays well at the Masters. And I think he's going to play very well here. I think you're going to see a top-five finish out of Tommy Fleetwood this week.
That would be big.
Yeah, especially a Tier B, 9,900. Yeah, you know, I'm going to call it again, Cam Smith, Tommy Fleetwood, top five.
That would be kind of cool to see him win. I mean,
I'd like to see it.
He hasn't won on U.S. soil yet, so yeah. That would be kind of cool.
I think it'd be really cool to see. So I'm going to tell you one guy that's a risky pick. And he's 9,800. It's Joaquin Niemann.
Talk about a meltdown on the weekend.
He played.
He hit some shots that I didn't think you would. I mean, I've seen players hit bad shots and shanks, but he had like multiple.
Yeah. It was really bad to watch.
Yeah, it was painful.
He finished 43rd last week, but you know, 2 weeks ago at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, I said that Daniel Berger. I didn't call for the Daniel Berger win, but I did call that, you know, the week before that Daniel Berger missed a cut, and then the following week he wins. So I called for the old college basketball comeback. You know, college basketball team, they get beat really bad when they just shouldn't have, and the next week they come out and they just tear their opponent up.
Yep.
I'm calling for that for Joaquin Niemann this week. I think Joaquin Niemann just – I don't know what happened. He just played terrible. And I think he's going to come back and he's going to light this course up.
It was pretty funny. After – literally as soon as we stopped recording last week's episode, me and Jackson both looked at each other and was just like, we probably should have mentioned Joaquin.
Yeah.
And then literally through the first two rounds, he was like – top five, I think, yep. Or top 10.
He's killing it.
And we were like, man, we really messed up. And then we just kept seeing him hit bad shot after really bad shot after really bad shot on the weekend. We were like, okay, well, we don't feel as bad now.
Not as bad. I think he'll do well this week. He'll probably be in a couple of my lines. He's a risky play because, you know, maybe something's screwed up in his swing now. But I don't believe that personally. I think he came into this golf course playing good, and he played good 2 days prior. And hopefully it's not a mental case at this point. But I think he's going to play really well this week.
Well, the cool thing about him is he hits the ball so low. I don't know necessarily how windy it gets at the concession club.
Right.
But it is.
It's in the Gulf.
Yeah. So it has a possibility of getting windy, and he can keep it low.
Yeah, it's true.
Not a bad play, I don't think.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. Take some picks.
How many
more guys in Tier B do you have?
Just one.
Just one. Okay, good.
And I don't know if he's necessarily a play or just a mention. I don't really know what to do with him, but it's Adam Scott.
So he's a mention for me.
He's 9,400. He's scary because he doesn't play enough to where you don't really know where his game is, and he didn't really play all that well last week.
It just kind of seems like Adam Scott's just out there to be out there.
Right.
Like, you know, if he's in contention the weekend, he's like, sure, let's put the foot on the pedal, let's go. But if he's not, he's like, okay, let's just play.
And the only really good stat that I could find on him, over the last 24 rounds, he is third in strokes gained total on Jack Nicklaus designed golf courses.
Wow, what a stat.
Yeah, so for whatever that is worth, I think as much as I dislike Tier B, if I had to pick another one, it'd probably be Adam Scott.
He's a mention for me. He's Masters winner.
He is a Masters winner.
So, but his putting, though, it seems one day it is on fire, and the next day, I mean, someone just threw a bucket on the fire, and it's gone. Can't find it. I mean, I don't understand his game totally right now, but he's a mention for me. You know, if I got five guys in my lineup and I got around that price range, I'm definitely picking him. I think I'm not necessarily going to purposely put him in a lineup just to like, cause I'm not picking like I want Adam Scott, but right. Like, by no means is he a bad pick this week.
No, and like you said, if your cap room or whatever gets to one player left and he's like the most expensive person you can afford,
yeah, take him.
I'd probably throw him in there.
But can he hang on for 4 days against the world's greatest golfers right now?
I don't know. I like to think he's one of them.
I agree. I just hope he can hang on in there. I think he can.
Yeah,
he's built
I do
for
too.
It. He's in. He's built.
He's
for
a, it. He's definitely the type of player that can find it at any moment.
I agree with you. Yeah. So you got anybody else in Tier B?
Nope.
All right. I got one last guy, Tier B, and it's just a mention for me. I'm not gonna play him. He's 9,100. It's Max Homa. Now he won this past week. It's an extremely emotional win for him. I think there's a few ways you can look at this. One, he just won. So maybe he's just going to go out there just to go out there, then take a break, and he could finish dead last. But because, you know, he just probably doesn't care as much right now.
I wouldn't. I just cast
cast a couple million.
Yeah.
You're good. But the only reason you're safe to put him into a lineup this week, I think, is because, A, he won last week, but before that, he had a bunch of top 10 finishes or top 15 finishes, and he was playing – fantastic golf leading up to his win. It wasn't a fluke win. He was due.
No.
And he won. So I think he's going to come in here and just – I don't think by any means – I mean, he's going to want to win again. Who doesn't want to win? But he's not going to be, like, super upset if he doesn't.
Right.
He's going to go out there, he's going to play his game, and he's going to get you a top 20 finish, I think, at the worst.
Is he going to pull a Sungjae and just keep on playing each week? Because I don't know.
He's been playing like 8 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and I don't know what tournament you're going to skip. I mean, there's big tournaments the next like 5 weeks.
I don't know. He's definitely going to play at the Players probably.
Yeah, I would imagine. Think. And the Arnold Palmer next week, I definitely think he'd want to play in that he gets an invite.
I keep forgetting about the Arnold Palmer. I can't believe I forget about that.
Maybe the Honda Classic, tournament. It's kind of losing its pizzazz, I think, a little. So maybe little he'll bit. Take that week off.
Yeah, but Max Homa, he's a safe pick this week. I really think he is. That's all I got for Tier B. So let's move to Tier C. You know, I thought Tier C was a little slim picking as well, but Tier C is 8,900 to 8,000. Again, FanDuel Sports for everything, all prices, everything. Start us off, Todd. Tier C.
So I'm going – he's not necessarily my boy, but it probably seems like it because I just keep playing him.
Oh.
It's Will Zalatoris.
I got him right here.
He's $8,800. He had another good finish last week.
15th.
He's ninth in strokes gained approach. He's third in strokes gained approach over the past 24 rounds. 13th in strokes gained tee to green and T16 in greens and regulation last week.
He's just playing so good.
He is, dude.
I understand he's a that's why it's kind of cool to see. You know, this past week at Riviera, he tied 15th, which was in an elite field.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good company there. Now, but this field is literally the elite field.
Yeah, besides a major, this is as dominant as it gets.
You know, for a rookie to be up there like that, he's either going to look at it in two ways. He's going to be like, you know, this is my first year and I'm up here with these guys. Like, I can take you on.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be like, oh, my God, like, I'm up here with, like, all these guys. But I think Zalatoris is going to have another good week. I could see a top 15 finish.
I could, too.
He's just playing so good. And all those stats you just threw out there, I mean, how can you not pick him right now? 8,800. How can you not pick him?
I mean, it kind of seems like a low price, but at the same time, every event he shows up to is his debut, even though this is everybody's debut at this golf course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's a world beater right now.
It is. It is. I'll tell you a guy. I got 8,500. He's my boy. He's the boy, Mark Leishman.
Okay.
Now, Mark Leishman is my boy. Mark Leishman is my favorite golfer on tour. Like I said earlier, I have a list of five boys that are just my homies. You know, I love those guys. You know, Cam Smith officially took the fifth spot. Good for him.
it's a coveted
right.
coveted
it's an exclusive
place.
Club to get
yeah,
into.
Exactly.
And so Mark Leishman is my favorite golfer, so I might be a little biased, but he played okay last week, finishing the top 30s, but he plays well at the Masters. Mark Leishman likes the Masters. 2020, Mark Leishman was 13th in the Masters. In 2018, he was 9th. So Mark Leishman is no stranger to these strategic golf courses like this.
No.
I think I could – I mean, Mark Leishman's going to play good. It's hard to see where you could put a spot on him. I could definitely see a top 15 finish out of Mark Leishman. I think that would probably be – I think the absolute best, he might finish like right at 10th, probably like absolute best probably. But 8,500, his ownership's going to be low.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, you really have got to look for the low ownership this week because there's only like 64 players. Is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's such a small field, so the ownership is huge this week. And I think Mark Leishman and Will Zalatoris, our last pick, are both very sneaky picks, especially just that low down there. Low ownership, both could play great.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another tier C guy, Todd.
So, I think where you're going to see the lowest ownership are probably going to be the guys that's coming over from the European Tour.
You're probably right.
But just because nobody really sees much about him. And my guy, Shane Lowry.
I thought
he's
about
another
him this
one.
Week.
You
he's
know,
got a top 25 finish in the Masters.
Right. And like I said, there's not a whole lot about him. I had to do a lot of digging on European Tour because nobody else, even like ESPN, CBS, none of them, they post only the stats from the PGA Tour.
Yep.
So if there's going to be some low ownership, I definitely think it's going to be on the Euros. His last two finishes are both top 30s at Dubai and Saudi International. Those are pretty strong fields.
Yeah.
And in European Tour's stats, he's 10th in greens and regulation, 29th in strokes gained approach, 27th in strokes gained tee to green, and 37th in strokes gained off the tee.
Wow.
So as long as his game follows him, I don't think he's that bad of a play.
No, I actually thought about him this week. Like you said, I just couldn't find that much on him.
I think somebody that's potentially going to be under 10% owned, if he gets a top 25, I think you're happy.
I think he might be under 7% owned, possibly.
Well, that'd be even better.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great pick on your part. I think that could be a little sneaky. Who else you got in tier C? Tell me another one.
So this one is kind of a risky play just because I don't know if this golf course is too long for him also. And we haven't really – he played last week, but we haven't seen him since his win. It's Kevin Na.
Really?
$8,000. He's the bottom of the barrel in this tier. But he's 4th in strokes gained around the green. And last week, he was tied for 16th in driving accuracy, 29th in strokes gained approach, and tied 10th in greens and regulation.
Kevin Na is a fantastic player. I think, you know, he got his win this past season. I mean, not this past, this season, sorry.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, he's such a seasoned golfer. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's smart. So he can play well. And his caddy is fantastic.
And I'm pretty sure he's got some decent finishes at the Masters, too.
Yeah, he does. He's got a few of them. I think he could do well here. Only thing that kind of scares me a little bit is that, you know, the course he won at is a wide-open course. This is by no means you can just throw wherever you want.
Right.
But with his experience and like that, I don't know if you're really going to see, like, a rookie come out here and win this week. You might see a rookie that's, you know, that's up on the rise playing really well, but, I mean, like, probably the more seasoned guy is going to win this week, I think.
I definitely think so, too.
You know, but Kevin Na could be that guy. That'd be cool to see him win again. I wouldn't be upset about it.
I'm never really mad when he wins. I mean,
no, how can you be mad at Kevin Na?
I just don't know. Like, the only thing against him, I guess, like I said, is the distance thing.
Yeah.
Because even though this and the Masters are the same length, you're probably not going to get as much run out here just because the soil and everything is a lot sandier than what you're going to find at Augusta, so it firms up a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that I'm worried about. But as far as all the other stats, I mean, he fits the mold.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that could be a good pick. That's good. One guy that I got, it's just a mention this week, is 8,100, is Abraham Ancer.
I almost took him too.
Yeah, he was 13th in the Masters this past year, but he did miss the cut last week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Answer, he's a great player. I don't necessarily know if his game's in the right spot right now.
He's just kind of streaky.
Yeah. I'm personally not going to put him in a lineup, but he could potentially be a good pick, but he's a very risky pick, I think.
Yeah.
My opinion. Now, I got one last guy in tier C, and I'll hand it back over to you. He's 8,000, and I did not think I was going to put this guy in a lineup this week, and it's Carlos Ortiz.
Oh, gosh.
I am livid with that man right now. Carlos Ortiz missed a cut last week, and it just killed my lineup. If Carlos Ortiz would have made it, I could have won a lot more money than I did, but it's fine. But again, we saw Carlos Ortiz at the at Torrey Pines have his little meltdown there, and he turned around and finished fourth in the Phoenix Open.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he just had a really bad week, like Thursday, Friday at Riviera, so maybe he could just come back and do the same thing. I'm going to call the old college basketball comeback with Carlos Ortiz this week as well. Carlos Ortiz, there's a good chance he's going to be in another one of my lineups this week.
I mean, he can't miss the cut this week, so there's a plus.
So that's why I'm excited for it. I think he's going to do well again. You could see him top 10 finish from Carlos Ortiz this week.
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
I didn't look at his scorecard, you know, as to the reason why he missed the cut, but I could definitely – I mean, Riviera is the type of place if you make a double somewhere early or a triple, It's really hard to catch up.
Yeah, it's hard to recover.
I mean, when 12-under wins the golf tournament for four rounds – you know it's hard making birdies out there.
Yeah, especially like you said, no cut line this week. Carlos Ortiz could light it up.
Yeah,
I think he can. He's going on a lineup. $8,000 this week. That's cheap.
Yeah,
cheap. Who else you got in tier C?
I'm done.
All done with that. Okay, yep. Let's move on to our final tier, tier D. Always slim picking, 7,900 to 7,000. I got two guys, and one of them I think is pretty funny. I might actually play him.
Two guys also.
Okay, start us off. Give me one.
So it's another Euro guy, but he's been a solid player for years. If you're a seasoned golf watcher, you've probably heard of him before. It's Bernd Wiesberger.
Oh, that's not at all who you're going to say.
He's $7,800. He's the 41st ranked player in the world right now.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's got some good finishes on the European Tour. Stats-wise, he's 27th in strokes gained approach, 22nd in strokes gained around the green, and strokes gained tee to green, and 11th in green in regulation as far as the European goes.
Wow.
So, like I said, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel down here. I mean, you're still getting solid players because it is a WGC event.
Right.
But he's definitely a guy that if
– real sneaky.
Low ownership – was a possibility this week. I don't see him being more than 5% owned.
Wow, that could be a good pick. Okay. One of my guys this week is 7,700, and it's Lanto Griffin. Lanto Griffin is in one of my boys. I'm a big fan of Lanto Griffin. You know, last week he finished 26th, so not bad, especially at Riviera.
Yeah, solid.
And I think he's playing great golf. You know, before that, he finished 7th. That was Torrey Pines he finished 7th at. And in the beginning of the year at the Century, he finished 13th. So I think Lanto Griffin's playing pretty good golf. I don't think he's going to get you a top 10 finish. I think at the very best, I think Lanto gets you a top 20 finish here, I think. But, you know, how much does that really say when there's only a very few amount of people here?
Right.
But I could see Lanto Griffin sneaking you a top 20 finish this week. He's playing pretty good. And, you know, he just played well this season. He finished 26th last week. It's kind of hard not to say he'll play well again.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to find the diamonds in the rough in this tier. And
yeah.
I mean, it being a WGC, they're definitely here.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So it's just a matter of picking them.
I got a diamond in the rough, but I'm going to wait.
Okay.
Go ahead. My last guy.
Yeah, my last guy. You saw a lot of him at the restart last year. It's Brendan Todd.
Brendan Todd.
$7,500.
He was in the field.
He's playing decent golf. He shot one over both rounds last week to miss the cut. But other than that, he was playing decent for Brendan Todd.
Okay.
And over the past 24 rounds, he's third in strokes gained putting on Bermuda, first in strokes gained around the green. So, I mean, you know, I know that you said earlier that it doesn't necessarily play like traditional Bermuda. But, I mean, it's got to have some aspects to it. And, like we said, scraping the bottom of the barrel down here, I don't think you could go decently. I don't think you go that wrong with Brendan Todd, honestly.
That's fair. Okay. Not bad. So that's all you got for tier D.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to say my last guy here, and we joked about this one earlier. 7,800 is Lee Westwood. So I'm sure everybody's just as shocked as we are that Lee Westwood's even in the field. But fun fact, Lee Westwood is ranked 37th in the world right now.
That blows my mind.
Blows my mind, too. Now, again, I think he's up there for a reason. Now, Lee Westwood is a very seasoned golfer. Great. But he loves the Masters. Loves it. Now, last year, tied 38th. 2017, tied 18th. Year before that was 2nd, 46th, 7th, 8th, 3rd, 11th, 2nd. Like, he loves the Masters. He loves it. I'm not saying he's going to come out here and just blow this tournament away. But I am saying that Lee Westwood, out of all the tier D guys that I saw, I am most confident in him that Lee Westwood could possibly get a top 15 finish.
Wow.
You know, from Lee Westwood.
That'd be cool.
Now, I'm saying that and watch him finish literally dead last.
That'd be kind of nostalgic.
I just think, you know, the Augusta National is so comparable to this course, and Lee Westwood is a very seasoned golfer, and he loves the Masters. He's ranked 37th in the world for some reason. I mean, he's got to be up there for a reason. So I think he could do well. We joked about it earlier. We're both like, what? Like, yeah. How is he even in this field? It
blew my mind.
But he could do it. But that's all I got for my tiers. I'm done with my picks.
Yep, me too.
All right, well, usually right here we would give you guys some lineups for that we chose for this week. But we actually do not have any lineups for this episode. We wanted to hear both of our more insights. So make sure you tune in to tomorrow's episode. Usually when we post tomorrow's episode, it is called the matchups. We have officially changed it to Wednesday wagers. And we post that Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. The reason we changed to Wednesday's wagers because not only do we include added players, withdrawn players, the weather, and the matchups, we now include our single bets. So there's two types of bets going in there, so we decided to call it Wednesday wagers. It's catchy, it's fun. Hope you guys like it. But so make sure you tune in tomorrow because we're going to give you guys all of that. Plus, we're both going to give you at least one to two lineups that we got from today.
Yeah.
So other than that, you got anything before we sign off here?
Nope.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It's very fun for us to do this. Now, every week, last week, we asked you guys to do it, and some of you all did. Make sure you send us your winning lineups. Send us who you got this week. And if you win, whether win or lose, send us what you got. We want to see what you all are doing. We love to see the camaraderie and the work that we all do together here because, you know, we throw you guys this stuff. We want to see everyone here succeed with it.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, make sure you follow us on social media. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is all Morning Mully, M-U-L-L-I for Mully. And our website is www.themorningmulligans.com. Follow us everywhere. Check out the website. Learn more about Todd and I. Other than that, I think that's all we got. So we'll see you guys tomorrow for Wednesday Wagers. Hope you guys enjoyed, and thank you.